it going to be fertilizer or dung, Peter?
Isaiah chapter 55. The Lord says, "Come, everyone who is thirsty, here's water. Come, you that have no money, buy grain and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. It will cost you nothing. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Why spend your wages and still be hungry? Listen to me and do what I say, and you will enjoy the best food of all. Listen now, my people, and come to me. Come to me, and you will have life. I will make a lasting covenant with you and give you the blessings I promised to David. I made him a leader and commander of nations, and through him I showed them my power. Now you will summon foreign nations. At one time they did not know you, but now they will come running to join you. The Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, will make all this happen. I will give you honor and glory. Turn to the Lord and pray to him now that he is near. Let the wicked leave their way of life and change their way of thinking. Let them turn to the Lord our God. He is merciful and quick to forgive. My thoughts, says the Lord, are not like yours, and my ways are different from yours. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways and thoughts above yours." And from the New Testament, Luke chapter 13. At that time, some people were there who told Jesus about the Galileans whom Pilate had killed while they were offering sacrifices to God. Jesus answered them, "Because those Galileans were killed in that way, do not think it proves that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans. No, indeed, and I tell you that if you do not turn from your sins, you will all die as they did. What about those 18 people in Siloam who were killed when the tower fell on them? Do you suppose this proves that they were worse than all the other people living in Jerusalem? No, indeed, I tell you that if you do not turn from your sins, you will all die as they did." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was once a man who had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went looking for figs on it, but found none. So he said to his gardener, "Look, for 3 years I have been coming here looking for figs on this tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should I go on using up the soil?" But the gardener answered, "Leave it alone, sir. Just one more year. I will dig up around it and put in some poop. Then, if the tree bears figs next year, so much the better. If not, then you can have it cut down."
Thank you, Saint Peter. I am quite sure that the word poop came from the King James Version of the Bible, read to us most reverently by Saint Peter. Thank you. Worship is very much a team effort, and as we prepare for this morning's worship, I'm going to ask Lynn if she can dim our lights. and I will ask Karen if she can distribute the lyrics to a song that most of you will be able to read upon the screen as Tony broadcasts it. The reason why I would like you to have the lyrics in print as well as on our screen is that I would like you to even perhaps ponder the meaning of the lyrics at home. So I printed them so that you can bring it home. But I do hope that if you are able to see the screen, are they able to see the screen, Tony? If you are able to see the screen, that you just really be in the moment and be present with our broadcast here. And then together, we will take the scriptures that Peter read, we will take the lyrics by Sir Mick Jagger, and we will incorporate that with my own thoughts and prayer on the scriptures, and together I pray that the wisdom will dwell within us.
When I saw it was a time for change.
I hope that many of you did not feel the contribution by the Rolling Stones to be irreverent, because it certainly is not. For those who have ears, hear that there are many profound theological comments found in the song. Literally, a book could be written, I think, on the commentary sung by Sir Mick Jagger. In fact, a book has been written. How many of you have ever read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters? I have two copies behind my chair in my office. If you have an opportunity, it's a whole book, sort of, about this song. In this text, The Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis allows one to eavesdrop on the lessons taught by a senior tempter to a junior tempter in training. The instructions given on how to cause humans to fall reveal much about human nature and the nature of what the science fiction series Star Wars refers to as the dark side. Much in our popular culture comments on exactly that which our scriptures do. Hence, sermons, if they are to be relevant to the 21st century, are only enhanced with audio and visual presentations. Mick Jagger speaks in the voice of Lucifer while talking us through major historical events. He boasts that he has stolen many people's soul and faith. He mentions Jesus' time in the desert for 40 days, about which we recently learned. And Mick Jagger foreshadows that which we will soon, during Holy Week, witness: the trial and sentencing of Jesus by Pilate. We hear about the brutality of the Russian Revolution and the inhumanity of the Second World War. We are reminded by the Protestant and Catholic Reformations and the bloody 30 Years' War which followed. We are brought into the 20th century with the assassinations of John F. Kennedy and Robert. The antagonist, Lucifer, introduces himself, but he does not reveal the nature of his game, his intentions. This Lenten season, we are also introduced to the one who tempts, and we ask ourselves, that which is puzzling us, what is the nature of his game? I believe our two scripture readings that Peter read for us this morning assist us. Our first reading is from what scholars refer to as 2 Isaiah. And it was written when the Israelites were exiled in Babylon. And they were a whipped people, literally. They were broken and they were destroyed, and so was their temple, their capital, Jerusalem, and their nation, who they understood from the Davidic covenant would last forever. They were a people who felt chastened by God, abandoned and forgotten by God. Yet 2 Isaiah, the author of 2 Isaiah, comforts them and offers them restoration in God's sight, reconciliation with the divine. and relationship with the Holy One. Second, Isaiah gives the people hearing cause to remain faithful, because it is promised that God will not only restore them, but God will reconcile them to everyone, to all nations, so that they will be in solidarity with them and in covenant with God. To those who may claim that God has abandoned them, 2 Isaiah declares radical inclusion. Gobsmacking acceptance and remarkable forgiveness and peace. To even the wicked, God, quote, will freely forgive them, unquote. Why? Because God's ways are higher than our ways. Verse 9 of chapter 55 states, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God accepts and offers love to those who you and I and many others do not. Isaiah foreshadows the words of Paul when Paul stated that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Our Christian scripture reading from Luke may seem, on first reading, to be only one of judgment. Jesus refers to an incident where Pilate massacred a group of Galilean worshipers. And many at the time thought that these Galileans, well, they must have offended God, otherwise God would not allow them to have been brutalized as they were by Pilate. The second incident Jesus refers to was, I assume, to be some sort of construction accident when a tower fell on some pilgrim worshipers, killing them. Jesus told those listening that they were no less sinners than the ones who were killed. Therefore, Jesus was saying, I kind of imagine if he had a southern accent, y'all stink, and you all better repent. The ones who were killed, no less than the ones who were hearing the message. And does not Mick Jagger sing the same when he said that every cop is a criminal and all sinners are saints? Jesus calls us to repent, not to condemn us, but rather to show us unfathomable love. Jesus then refers to a fig tree being cut down in a parable. Again, on first glance, this scripture seems to be one of only judgment. But I think upon closer examination, I hear of a tree producing no fruit, in other words, a sinner. And when being cut down is more than warranted, the vine dresser decides to give the tree more time to produce good fruit. More time to repent, to change ways and to be restored and to be in a favorable relationship with God. So, let's come back to our question. What is the nature of the tempter's game? Are you still puzzled? Are you still confused about it? I'm not sure if you caught it, But at the end of the song, Mick Jagger sings quickly. You can barely catch it, it's so fast. I tell you one time, you're to blame. What does that mean? I'm to blame. The one hearing the song. Friends, interpret the scriptures that Peter read in Mick Jagger's song as you might. But I hear clearly from the scriptures that nothing can separate us from the love of God. If we acknowledge our sins, if we repent, and if we change directions. Isaiah and Luke proclaim, let the wicked abandon their ways, and evil people their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, for he will forgive them freely. Who killed the Kennedys? Mick Jagger says, it was you and me. Echoing Jesus' words to those who were listening to him. And Mick Jagger sang that if I am lost, then I am to blame, not the one who tempts. So what is the nature of his game? I think it is to convince you and I, to persuade you and I that we are lost, we are broken and sinful, and that there is no path to restoration and thus no reason to repent. Satan's game is to convince you and I that God's love has limits. When in reality, God's love has no limits whatsoever. The tempter's game is to deceive us, to persuade us into thinking that God's thoughts and ways are the same as ours, disgustingly limited. But God's thoughts and ways are not our ways. And God always invites us back into relationship with God's self. This was the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded, Amen. Amen.